Well, there's one word that says a huge amount about you. It's a very powerful word. It's probably one of the most important words, most significant words, most life-changing words, probably the most important characteristic of your life, in my opinion anyway. If you get this word right, you'll step into a life of blessing that you probably didn't even know existed. Often we're unaware of the power of this word, really unaware of it, don't even often think about it, and yet it's dictating so much of our life. This word actually determines where you spend your time, your talents, your energy, your money, your emotions, who you hang out with, what you look at. It just about dictates, I don't know, maybe 80, 90% of your life. I've been thinking about it. It's just really got my attention that it is such a very, very powerful thing. It will actually even dictate what you look at on social media, what books you might read, places you might even go. The people you hang out with. A lot of it comes down to this one word, which I want us to think about for some time this morning. Some of you may have guessed the word already, but the word I want to talk about today is hunger. Everyone say hunger. Because hunger drives you. Why do you eat food? Because you're hungry. Some of you eat when you're not hungry, I know that. You're not meant to. But hunger drives you. It moves you in certain directions. Hunger determines where you spend your money, your time, what you do with your talents, with your emotions, the people you hang with. It all comes down to hunger. Now, you may not know that it's hunger that's driving you, but actually it is. I've read that we are all born with hunger. God put it in us. The hunger he put in us actually is for himself, but we're born with hunger. That's why as soon as a baby is born, it's hungry. It's hunger. So it's in us. It's deep in us. It's one of those powerful things about our lives is our hunger. And so you've got to think about this a lot. You've got to consider it a lot. So we need to ask, every one of us, need to ask ourselves, what am I hungry for? Yeah. So what are you most hungry for? Yeah. Hey? Okay, tell the person next to you right now what you're most hungry for. Go on, tell them. What is it? What is it? It's gone pretty quiet. It's gone pretty quiet. See, most of you probably can't even answer the question, which is serious. You know, some of you are just hungry for the service to finish. So you can go home and have some food as far as your hunger goes. But I want you, at the end of the service, once you get home, I want you to go away and write down the three things you're most hungry for. Not the three things you should be most hungry for, but what are the three things you are most hungry for? Huh? You know, because that's a very powerful factor. Because some people right now, they're just very hungry for more money. And so everything in their life is driving them in this direction of how can I get this bit more money? And you know, and that affects us deeply. And so it just drives us in a tremendous way. You know, some of you others here, you're just hungry because you want more friends. So the way you live your life, the way you spend your money, where you go, where you hang out, you're driven by this hunger for more friends. So it depends on what you're hungry for. It's driving your life in so, so many directions. And, you know, let me tell you how you can discover accurately what you're most hungry for. Well, a couple of ways you can do that. Number one, look at your calendar. What are the things that you're going to be doing the rest of today? You know, and have you looked at it? and think about, yeah, I'm going to be doing this. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. That tells you what you're hungry for. Another way to do it is have a look at your bank account. Okay, where did you spend your money? You know, Burger King, you know, supermarket, clothing store, beauty salon, haircut, you know, nails get done, you know, whatever it is. Golf fees. Where's your money going? Where's your money going? You know? So that will tell you what you're hungry for. So I've discovered most people don't think about this much. And the reason you have to think about it is this. Listen carefully. Your life is heading rapidly in the direction of your greatest hungers. So you know what your life will be like in 5 years' time. Just check your hunger right now. And whatever it is, that's where you're going at high speed. So you don't need a prophet to come in and tell you where your life will be like in 5 years. I'm the prophet. I'm telling you right now, have a look at your hunger. That's where you're going. I don't care what they prophesy over you. They might say you're going to do this, that, and the other. Friends, none of that's going to happen if the hunger in your life does not match the prophecy that's been spoken over your life. Someone might get a prophet. You're going to be a teacher of the Word of God. Great. How hungry are you for the Word of God today so you can be a preacher of the Word of God? So, you know, you might get another hunger. God's going to use you in signs, wonders, and miracles. Great. How much are you praying and fasting for the power of God and the anointing of God so you can minister signs, wonders, and miracles? So prophecy's great, friends, but most of it is very, very conditional. And your hunger will determine the extent to which some prophecy will take place. So I reckon my prophecy's better. Just look at your hunger. That's where you're going. That's where you're headed. Some people, all they're hungry for, they're not necessarily wrong, they just want to be great at a sport. Some parents, all they're hungry for is for their kids to be good at sport. So that's where their time goes. It's where their energy goes. It's where their money goes. It's where their emotions go. Because that's what they're hungry for. And hey, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, they may do great at sport. What they were hungry for, that's where you head at a rapid rate of knots. So friends, I want to really challenge you and challenge me. What are we really hungry for? What's deep in our desire for? You know, for a lot of people, their hunger is in a whole lot of different areas. You know, for a lot of people, it's just for more money. For others, it's, I just want to be successful. Successful either in the church or in the society or in my business. I've got to be successful. All their energy goes towards being successful. You know, or being popular. Or having more social media followers. I mean, if there's any list of things that we can have of things that we are hungry for. And, you know, if you start looking deeply how you spend your time. You know, minute after minute, hour after hour. You know, how much of it is, you know, getting into this book. Praying, or how much of it back on social media? What's happening here? Social media, what's happening here? Oh, back on social media, what's happening? Hello? Anyone guilty? Because we'll all justify our hungers. But it's very powerful. Very, very powerful. So, you look at champion sports people, you know, you see them do their training, eh? Yeah. I don't mind watching it. I never want to do it. I mean, they kill themselves at training. The diets they go on. Yeah. Honestly, they get up 5, 6 in the morning and they run these marathons and run through mud and all the riches. You know, what they go through is insane. Have anyone ever seen this stuff? Yeah. It's mental. Why do they do it? One word. Hunger. Hunger. They just want to be good. They want to be the best. They'll pay any price, make any sacrifice, change their diet. Fast. I know golfers, champion golfers, who fast several days a week. Hello? To be better golfers. Hello? How about Christians? fasting a few days a week to be better Christians. If golfers will do it, why can't we do it as Christians and become better Christians, have more power, more fire, more success, see more souls saved, see more people healed, see God use us in greater ways? What did it come down to? Hunger. Hunger. You got to get the hunger. Thanks for the overwhelming response on that point. Hey, so Les Brown, this is not the mayor, someone else. Les Brown says this: if you want to do anything worthwhile in your life, you've got to be hungry. Ask the person next to you, how hungry are you? If I said to you, ask the person next to you, give me your money, the buzz in the whole house. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? I can tell the response by how well people ask the question. Gives me an idea of how things are going. All right, here's another one. Success comes to those that wake up hungry every day. I wake up hungry every day, folks. I wake up hungry every day. I wake up hungry every day. I wake up hungry every day because I've got to do something for God. I've got a mission to fulfill. I've got a calling to pursue. I've got a work to do. I've got a nation to turn to Jesus. I've got a church to run. I wake up hungry every day. Hunger gets me out of bed. I've got to get up, get going, and do something. Are you hungry? Do you wake up hungry? Or do you... whatever. Okay, here's another one. Sometimes it's not about who has more talent. It's about who's hungrier. A lot of people with talent in this place. Massive talent. You know, we all talk about Tiger Woods. Great, one of the greatest golfers of all time. Some would say he was never the most talented. He just worked the hardest. Don't tell him that, by the way. He might disagree. But they do. They say he worked the hardest. It's not who's the most gifted in this place that's going to succeed the most. It's whoever's going to work the hardest. Whoever's going to do the most. You know, I'm not the most gifted, talented person around, folks. I'm telling you now, many of you know that. But I put in the time. I put in the effort. I put in the work. When you do that, God pushes you to a level beyond a lot of people, more capable, more gifted, more talented by far than I am. But it's not always who's most talented. It's who is hungrier, who will work harder, who will give it the very best to be all that God has called them to be and called them to do. So here's a question I want to ask you then, and you probably know the answer. What do you think would be the greatest hunger you could have? What would be the one that would give you the most fruit, the most blessing, the most fulfillment, the most satisfaction, the most joy? What would that hunger be? The answer may surprise you. It's obvious. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's say that together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Let's stand together, shall we? I mean, this one is so good. I think we can't say it sitting down because I know some of you want to dance and clap at the end of this, so I'm going to give you a chance to do this, all right? So I want us to say it with as loud a voice as you can get, because this verse is probably the key to your future. If you can get this verse sorted out in your life, you can face the future in a fantastic way. And I'll unload the scripture for you in a few moments. But let's say it out nice and loud, because faith comes by hearing. So say it as nice and loud. Let's go. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Say it again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. One more time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Before you're seated, guess what they're going to be filled with? You're going to be filled with the greatest of all. You'll be filled with God. You'll be filled with God. You'll be filled with God. You're not getting filled with money. You might get it as well, by the way. Not getting filled with money. You're not getting filled with friends. You're not getting filled with success. You're not getting filled with popularity. You're not getting filled with anointing. You're not being filled with all this other stuff the world chases after. You're going to get filled with God, the only thing that can satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. Nothing else will ever come close to more of God in your life. But most of us spend all our life searching for everything else and wonder why it never delivers when it's right in front of us. If we'll search for God, if we're hungry for God, He'll fill us and we'll know the most satisfying and fulfilling life we could ever have. Why don't you give God a praise or a clap or a shout or something? Have a seat. The Greek word there for blessed speaks of happiness, contentment, even in adverse circumstances. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So those people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it speaks of that they're happy. That's the key to happiness. It's the key also to contentment and also maintaining happiness in adverse circumstances. You see, I'm happier today than before I was saved. I'm happier today than 5 years ago. I'm happier today than last year. Do you know why? Because I'm hungrier for God. And because I have more of God, I just get happier all the time. I can't imagine what I'll be like in 10 years' time. I'll be so happy, I'll be probably floating around this room full of happiness. Everyone is searching for satisfaction. Used to be that song, didn't I? Can't find no satisfaction. I don't know what I heard. I don't know anything about it. But can't find satisfaction. Well, you can find satisfaction. You find it in God. You find it in Jesus. You find it in searching after God. Blessed, fulfilled, satisfied, content. Everything are those who hunger and thirst after God and after His righteousness. It's not rocket science, is it? It's simple. So why don't you do it? Instead of looking everywhere else. Could people just think, oh, this, if only this, this will make me happy. I'm telling you now, it won't. It won't. Only God can satisfy the longings in our heart. So I can add to this by giving you another scripture you know well. Matthew 6:33. Seek first kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't want to upset anyone right now, but I probably will. People say, yeah, well, I do that. And God's not adding everything unto me. I challenge, are you sure you're seeking first the kingdom of God? So when you got up this morning, the first thing on your mind was the kingdom of God being advanced. Or was it something else? So you've got to seek first. A lot of people seek second, or third, or fourth, or fifth, the kingdom of God. And then say, well, why isn't He adding everything to me? No, no, you've got to really get on your knees before God. You've got to really surrender your life. And on the altar of God, you present your body a living sacrifice and say, God, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. However much you want me to give, I'll give. My life is completely surrendered to You. You know, when you seek first, that's what it means by seeking first. You are totally surrendered to God. And all that matters is that you're fulfilling the work of God in your life. Everything else is second. When you get to that place, all these things are added unto you. You've heard me say it so many times. The problem with the Western church today is we preach all the promises, but we skip the conditions. We just say, all these things will be added unto you. Excuse me. If. You seek first the kingdom of God. And that's a massive if, friends. That's a massive if. Because most of us are happy to seek God's kingdom second, third, fourth, or fifth. That may include me from time to time as well. Here's our problem. Oh, it's a problem. You can see it as a problem. But let me put it, for some of us it's a problem. Is God has designed you in such a way that nothing else but He can satisfy you. He has designed you, created you, fashioned you, formed you. Nothing else on this planet can satisfy you except him. So you can get all your wish list. You can get your money. You can get your success. You can get your promotion. You can get your job. Get your flash car. Get your flash house. You can get everything you want. You can get the whole shooting box. I'm telling you now, you come up empty. Because God has made sure, he has made absolutely sure that nothing but himself will ever satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. They say that hunger is the currency of heaven. You want things from God? It comes down to hunger. It's the currency of heaven. So if my life is going rapidly, just so you know who I am, in the direction of my greatest hungers, then in the years to come, I'll be closer to God, because that's my biggest hunger. I'll be more like him, because that's another hunger. I'll be seeing his supernatural power, because I hunger for that every day. I'll see this church, that church of New Zealand, revived, and I'll see revival in this nation and beyond. That's where I'm going, folks. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? Wouldn't that get you out of bed every morning? Wow, gets me out of bed. So I'm not confused. I don't have to work out what decisions I'm going to make. My decisions are made because I know what my hungers are. So I know where I'm going to go. It's going to depend on what my hungers are. I'm not going to get caught up in things that aren't going to feed my hunger and get lost in things that diminish the hunger in my life, because I know where I'm heading in my life. See, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every one of our hearts. So I'm going to encourage you to pray for hunger every single day. My time is, gosh, I've only got to my introduction. Ooh. What am I going to do here? Okay. They say hunger for God is a key to opening heaven over your life. Yes. Opening his power over your life. There was this redhead boy in Sunday school, and he had this ferocious temper, like some of you. I see. Anyway, he would kick the teachers. He's uncontrollable, and he broke all the windows in the hall. He got to a meeting, got saved. And the preacher then couldn't get him out of his house because the boy was so hungry for God. Got saved, hungry. Except this is the sort of people we want to see saved. He would stay till midnight crying out to God to use him. And so God met his hunger. God delivered him from being this ferocious boy. He became one of the most calm and gentle and kind boys and ended up a missionary in China for 20 years. The power of hunger is unbelievable, friends. God will meet you at the point of your hunger. If you've got hunger for God, you are most blessed indeed. May that hunger increase. May it grow. May it multiply. May it enlarge. Get more and more hungry than ever before, and God will meet your hunger. See, I've heard this. Heaven doesn't respond so much to our need as to our hunger. This young man who got saved, terrible lifestyle, needed victory, had a great, 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 great need, cry out to God, nothing happened. Then he got hungry for the breakthrough, began to pray, read a psalm of deliverance 3 times a day. Got so hungry, he did this for 2 years, 3 times a day, read a psalm of deliverance every day for 2 years. One day he's walking down the street and instantly, totally set free. God did not meet his need. God met his hunger. See, hunger is the key, friends. It's the currency of heaven. Tell the person next to you, get more hungry for God. All right, my time is going at a very fast rate of knots here, so I'm going to skip a few things out. And so what do you do if you're hungry for the wrong things? Woo! Everyone say, Jesus, help me. What do you do? Well, it needs radical intervention. It needs total disruption. I can think of some things over the years I was more hungry for than I should have been. And I wondered, Lord, what can I do to deal with some of these hungers? Not necessarily terrible things, but they limit this hunger that I have for God. And the thought came, it's almost like the Holy Spirit said to me immediately, kill it. Kill it. Yeah, I said, well, Lord, how do I kill it? He said, stop feeding it. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. So, Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death. Read it with me. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. So if you hunger too much for time on the screen, for social media, for the phone, if it's more than it should be, kill it. Thank you for the clap and the shout on that point. Kill it. Cut it off. Stop it. Stop it. Do a 21-day fast from social media, from your phone. 21-day fast, except for emergencies. Try it. It'll kill it, friends. You know, I had to ask Jody, I was talking to her, and I said, Jody, what's this thing they... I hear a lot of people talk about Netflix. I said, what is that? Does anyone else know what it is? Does anyone here know what Netflix is? One person. So everyone's like me. No one knows what it is. But apparently it's something about movies. Is that right? Netflix? Programs? Okay. So programs. And you can watch movies on it? Netflix. All right. See, this is a godly church. Only two people knew about it in this whole church. Only two people. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Revival has come to Church Unlimited, the most godly church in the nation, if not in the world. And I said to her, well, this Netflix rubbish. I said, how do you get it? She said, you have to pay for it. I said, what? You have to pay to ruin your life? Surely this is free. Surely it's free. Friends, if you spend too much time on Netflix and watching movies and stuff you shouldn't be watching, well, no, wait, let me be fair. You've spent 2 hours in prayer, fine, watch a movie for an hour. That's fine. If you ain't done this, do not do this. Friends, you've got to kill it. Come on, stop the subscription. Just stop it. Tell the person next to you, stop your Netflix subscription tomorrow. And give Church Unlimited the money. Look, you know what I'm saying, all right? You all know what I'm saying. What are you feeding into your life? Do not think for 1 minute. You can watch some stuff in some movie that has got 5% rubbish, 95% good, and it's not going to affect your hunger for God. Do not fool yourself. Do not let the devil fool you, friends. It will destroy the hunger in your heart for God. I want to put a challenge to you right now. The next time you watch a movie on Netflix, when you turn it off, say to your husband or wife or friends and say to them, man, do you feel the fire of God now? Has this set you on fire? Who? Come on, let's go and pray. Let's go and witness. Let's go and evangelize. I've been set afire for God. I can't answer that question. I've never watched any of these things. But I'm assuming that's what you're watching. And it's setting you on fire for God. Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm just so grateful that only two people in this church have Netflix. So good. So, man, if a lot of you had it, then I'd be really worried, but thank you, Jesus. Kill it. Everyone say it. Kill it. Yeah. Say it again. Kill it. Yeah. Look, a 21-day fast. Try it. I guarantee some of you could not stop looking at your phone for 48 hours. I guarantee you're so addicted. So addicted. And it's ruining your hunger for God. You know, see, these things are good tools, But the devil uses them to rob us of hunger for God. And we get caught up in all that stuff that comes up on the screen. And you scrunch. Very destructive, friends. In fact, I'd like to follow our national government on phones and put a ban on them. You know, they're not allowed to take them into schools anymore. You've got to leave them at the door. So what say we do that here, folks? Leave your phone at the door. Everyone in favor say amen.
Amen.
It's a majority. Passed. Next Sunday, leave the phone at the door. If any good ones, I'll grab them. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's overtime. I probably said too much. Fast 21 days for whatever you're too hungry for. How about watching no movie for a month? Well, you got excited on that point. I reckon for every movie you watch, you should have a $100 donation to the church. Would that stop it? No, probably wouldn't. You'd probably give the $100. Look, I want to close with this. You can be as hungry for God as you choose. It's up to you. You might say, oh, Pastor, you got such a hunger for God. But you can be just as hungry. Whatever you feed grows. Start feeding your hunger, it will grow. But you've got to stop feeding the wrong stuff. You've got to stop feeding the wrong stuff. Because there's too much stuff that's we allow to get inside of us, and it actually destroys our hunger. See, one of the worst things you can do is come to church, worship, hear, sing and pray and hear the word and go home inspired. And then tonight, or some stage, you watch a movie. And suddenly all your hunger is just... All the effort you put to got filled up. See, the spirit leaks out. And so the enemy has one trick in every one of our lives. And he's just got to keep taking your hunger away. So however he can do it, he's just got to rob you of hunger. It might be the phone. It might be Netflix. It might be something else. I don't know, mixing with the wrong friend. Whatever it is, he's got to keep robbing you of your hunger. You can be as hungry for God as you want. All you got to do is start feeding the hunger. Start in small doses. You know, so the two things, start doing the right things. Maybe I'll give you another time a whole list of the right things that you can do. I didn't get to it today, unfortunately. But, you know, do the things like getting to church. It's very simple. That's how you feed your hunger. You know, come to a prayer meeting. It's the way you feed your hunger. Do you know what I mean? You know, read your Bible. Feed your hunger. Pray. Feed your hunger. You know, hey, I've got to give you one quote here, which I really liked and I didn't get around to. But let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. It was Jeremy McGilvery. They might find it up there towards the end. If you're not as hungry as I am, we can't eat together. Ooh. If you're not as hungry as I am, we can't eat together. You meet with the hungry. You feed with the hungry. You connect with the hungry. And when people are not as hungry as you are, conversation runs out pretty quickly, and you've got to start talking about Netflix or the latest sports game or the weather or money. Because the hunger is not there. You're not as hungry as I am. We can't eat together. Stand with me, please.